It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Nearly 8,000 primates spend their lives in Wisconsin undergoing research. That's according to 2023 figures from the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
After the experiments end, a fraction of these animals have the chance to retire to a sanctuary to live out the rest of their lives.
Fewer than a dozen accredited primate sanctuaries operate in North America. One of them is here in Wisconsin, and the nonprofit is out of space.
But a new housing model could mean no monkey gets turned away from a sanctuary.
We learn now about the latest developments in caring for retired research monkeys with the founder of Primates Incorporated and efforts to enlarge its facility.
Producer Mackenzie Crummy and I recently visited the sanctuary in Westfield, that's in central Wisconsin. On this nearly 20 acres of grassy meadows and woods, 12 monkeys are at home. Mars munches on his afternoon snack of parsley and leafy greens, studying every bite.
Here you go. No, this you can't all have. I know you want that. Yeah. If he could, he'd eat it all. And Mars is 19 years old.
Is that old for a rhesus?
It's middle age about, because they can live to be in their 30s. And Mars is also one of the first three monkeys that we got back in January of 2018. So he's been with us for 6.5 years.
What were Mars's circumstances in coming here?
So Mars was a research monkey for his whole life. And then he came here at about 14 years old, 13, 14. He's enjoyed it a lot now. He gets to hang out with a lot of different monkeys, gets all kinds of treats.
These rhesus macaques began arriving at Primates Incorporated in 2018. Most came from research labs. Others were rescued from the exotic pet trade. In retirement, these monkeys roam around indoor and outdoor enclosures, all connected by overhead enclosed metal walkways that resemble sky bridges. The monkeys, native to Asia, are about 35 pounds with brownish hair, expressive red faces, and red butts. That's a trait that is seen as attractive to other monkeys. And Mars uses his butt as a signal he wants attention from caretaker Amber Zorn.
He has his butt up in the air and he's telling me, "Excuse me, I want scratches."
I would say right on cue.
He's one of our monkeys who also likes to get back scratches from humans. So we use like a wooden back scratcher and we'll reach for him to get scratches and everything. And he'll flip over onto his back and everything and have you scratch his belly. And he loves it, getting on his face and getting his neck scratched. He loves it all.
As of 2021, there were over 253,000 monkeys living in labs. That's according to the North American Primate Sanctuary Alliance. That's a coalition of 8 primate sanctuaries in the country, including this one. Because of their genetic similarity to humans, monkeys often act as our stand-ins in biomedical research. In laboratory colonies, they may be subject to experiments where they're injected with diseases and viruses, eventually euthanized. But the monkeys at Primates Incorporated have a different story. Zorn says Mars, born inside a research colony, has never been outdoors.
The first time he got to go outside was just amazing because the first thing he did was look up at the sky and then down at the grass. And he was just kind of like, what is this? You know, and you could just see in his face, his mind was just blown by what he was seeing. And even when he was like touching the ground, like he was like testing it out to see if it was like okay to touch, what it felt like, and all of that, because he just had never touched that before or felt it.
Zorn has worked at the sanctuary for 6 years. She watched the first three monkeys begin their new life here. A primate behavioral specialist is on staff and a team of volunteers who keep the monkeys fed and entertained. Now, Primates Incorporated hopes to increase the number of caretakers with a planned expansion in the works. Their goal is to raise $600,000 and serve more than double the number of monkeys. Amy Kerwin is founder and volunteer executive director of the sanctuary. She hopes to break ground later this fall.
Mm-hmm. Yep, out in this field here to the right.
Yep.
And then it'll be about 3 times as big as this building. So. We want to help up to 30 more monkeys with our next building. And so we're currently getting estimates on that, and we want to do it bigger and better, but with construction costs and all that, we have $228,000 raised towards that. So we might start small with a medical building and office quarters, because this current building that we're sitting in right now, it needs quite a bit of renovation. So we not only have to make sure that we are improving what we have right now and making sure our existing residents have the care they need, but we're also raising funds for that new building. And I would like to spend a little more time talking to legislatures to get funding set aside, because there is federal funding for researching on primates. And even they said, you can send your monkey onto a sanctuary, that's fine with us, but we will not fund for it. So that really puts a researcher in a tough spot. And I never wanted funding to get in the way of helping monkeys, but now that I know we're in it and it costs $15,000 a month to care for just these 12 monkeys with our professional staff and enrichment and produce, that we really would like to see that federal funding component. I feel personally it should be part of a cost of doing research. Let your researchers send monkeys on to sanctuary and obtain the funding they need.
Talk a little bit about what brought you to this cause of helping monkeys live out the remainder of their lives in dignity.
Well, when I was going to UW-Madison about 20 years ago now, I had aspirations of getting into veterinary school, and I knew that getting training with primates was very hard to come by. And so I found myself lucky to actually get a job at the Harlow Primate Lab in 1999. And then while I was there, I worked there for 5 years, and I worked really hard. I always believe in doing a great job, and so I was well-liked and promoted, and so I tried to bring about change and make improvements in the lab. But I really started seeing the monkeys as individuals, and there were 97 of them that I was caring for. And so they really had a profound effect on my life. I really felt while I was in the lab that I decided to later on go to business school instead of veterinary school. I just got so sidetracked in the lab and wanting to improve things for those monkeys that the rhesus monkeys there really inspired me to do more for their species. So I've been trying hard at the cause for many years, and we finally bought land in 2014 and helped our first monkeys in 2018, but it's really been a long time coming and many years of support from the wonderful community and overcoming many challenges.
Can you talk a little bit about what it takes to put a sanctuary together, what it takes to build one from the ground up?
Back when I was in the lab, actually, I started forming the nonprofit status. And I mean, that's as easy as Googling, actually, but it's a very intense form, 1023. It takes about a year of corresponding with the government. You have to get a board of directors together. But I did that while I was in the lab, and I did that too because I thought, okay, when I tell them that I've got this nonprofit sanctuary, and everyone's just gonna come on board and get behind me, and there's where I was naive. And so I told the research vet, oh, I formed this nonprofit, we just became official, and told her about the sanctuary. She said sending monkeys to the sanctuary was too animal rightsy for her taste. And there started the perspective change for me, because I was actually networking with other labs and learning they were sending monkeys to sanctuaries. So to discover the act of wanting to send one on from the lab I was in was so frowned upon, I knew I had to resign to work with other labs.
And Kerwin has formed partnerships with some research labs. Currently, though, none of the monkeys at Primates Incorporated come from the Wisconsin National Primate Research Center at UW-Madison. But over the years, Kerwin's vision for a sanctuary hasn't wavered.
So really identifying that need was what made me start it. And then every year, just working so hard every day, and those to-do lists and networking, and working with the other labs, because I knew the rhesus monkeys are relying on us, because the chimps have been helped, but the rhesus monkeys haven't. So yeah, we'll just walk around to start.
This is a beautiful property. It is so pretty out here. Very green and...
Started off as 17 acres with no...
As we walk around the sanctuary, some monkeys are housed singly while others are paired up. They try to have each monkey housed with a friend so they can socialize and find companionship. But it doesn't always work out. Kerwin says the sanctuary could house at least 8 more monkeys if they could all be housed in one spot. That's another capacity issue that expansion is likely to address.
We were fortunate that Batman and Timon arrived in 2018 also as a pair from a lab. And so oftentimes they are in pairs at the lab until, say, they fought too much, and then they're labeled as aggressive and need to be singly housed. But then that was nice to see them enjoying the outdoors here together, and you can see they're like BFFs, and Batman's the dominant one, and Timon is a submissive one. And really, you want that relationship, dominant and submissive, so that they don't fight to duke out dominance. Rhesus monkeys are so tricky to socialize and complicated that they can really cause severe injury.
When they came from the research lab and once they acclimated to this new environment, did their relationship with each other change?
That's a great question. When they arrived together, I think they always relied on each other, and they still do to this day. You know, if one goes out to another enclosure, the other will follow closely behind. And I think they do that also for their trusting each other, and over time they've learned to trust us.
Yeah, I imagine it is so different than in the lab setting. Their enrichment and just their ability to make decisions on their own.
Mm-hmm. And it's about 9 cubic feet per monkey is the minimum regulations in a lab. And now some labs down south might, house them in bigger troops and whatnot. But that's really what sending them to sanctuary means, is sending them from, you know, living in a closet their whole life to multiple environments and putting them first.
And in retirement, new love interests develop with a bit of drama. Here's caretaker Amber Zorn.
So, and this is Maddie and Noah here. So, and they were both pets from Tennessee. They're definitely in love. And then we also say, well, I say, Isle, he's got a little bit of a love interest with Maddie, too, from across the way.
Oh, she's popular.
She is. Well, she's the only rhesus macaque female here. So Noah's got something special with him, and the other monkeys are totally jealous with that stuff. And so Isle's definitely in love with her. Every time he sees her, he'll lip smack her and kind of go all googly-eyed at her. It's cute.
And here's some of that lip-smacking communication.
It's like monkeys smiling, but they lip-smack, so we do that often with them, too. And
in addition to finding friends and partners, the monkeys receive daily enrichment with food and stimulation. The sanctuary expansion plans call for a kitchen prep area where volunteers can make the monkeys meals and treats.
What do you have for enrichment today? Boomer balls.
Oh. Boomer balls.
Boomer balls.
We move into an indoor enclosure where staff prep food on a small table for all 12 monkeys. A fridge is stocked full of fresh vegetables, and then there's the enrichment to keep the monkeys exploring.
Up here, and this is a boomer ball. It's got peanut butter throughout, so they really spend a lot of time picking at the peanut butter. And then I'm just putting a carabiner here, attaching it to a chain, and then that will be placed onto their enclosures. And we'll start with... We'll start with Mr. Isle. He's the most dominant in the monkey building. And then if you two wouldn't mind standing in the center, kind of by the garbage can here, this is a nice safe spot.
Okay.
And then I think what I'll do is walk away from you to hang these up just for safety, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then that man will probably keep close tabs on Timon, but I'll try to set it over here. So what'll happen is Batman will probably forage through both, and Timon will come in after because Timon doesn't want a confrontation. Have you seen Ganesha up here? And the reason why I don't point either, I do the whole hand because monkeys from labs don't like being pointed at. I remember learning that the very first day that I was trained in the lab. They said, don't point at the monkeys, and she pointed at the monkey to tell me why not, and the monkey jumped to the back of their cage. So I feel like they think they're being singled out by pointing at them, like, what are we going to do to this one? So I'm respectful, and that's why you see the Vanna White hand coming out.
And inside their cages are toys that typically you might see toddlers enjoying.
It's one of my favorite things to do, actually, because it's really fun to get to choose what toys to give them because you never know how they're going to react. So, and some of them have their favorites, like Junior's obsessed with a big Tigger that we have. So he has to have his giant Tigger. You can see it under the picnic table there. He has to have it with him all the time because he grooms it and stuff like that, like it's his baby. Yeah. And Maddie's the same way. She has to have stuffless animals because she likes to eat the stuffing. So we give her animals without the stuffing, but she'll carry them around with her like they're her baby.
As the monkeys splash in their mini water pools and get fed handfuls of parsley, Kerwin reflects on what they went through before they arrived at the sanctuary and hope for the future.
And rhesus monkeys are very resilient in that they can handle a lot of stress and cheering and stuff like that. And I know that researchers grow close to the monkeys in the lab and they, you know, their hands are tied. And so this is a nice ethical compromise for them to be able to send the monkeys on that they grew close to, just like I grew close to the 97 rhesus monkeys. And I worked so hard over that 5 years that I was at the lab to try to improve conditions and get them to be fed twice a day, for example, and increase chow foraging. And then also, of course, bringing to light the idea that other labs are sending monkeys to sanctuary. So I think the trend's really on the rise. We're showing that there's an alternative to euthanasia, that monkeys can be sent to sanctuary, but funding will need to be set aside for it, you know, because they do have very complex and expensive care.
That is Amy Kerwin, the founder and volunteer executive director of Primates Incorporated in Westfield in central Wisconsin. A special thank you to Amber Zorn and Joey Lara, who showed us around the sanctuary, and Mackenzie Crummy, who produced this segment of Wisconsin Today. And to see pictures of Mars and other monkeys at the sanctuary, head over to WPR.org/Wisconsin Today.
Coming up, an online group is bringing together tens of thousands of Wisconsinites to share restaurant recommendations and build a community of food lovers.
You see a lot of restaurants supporting other restaurants, and I love seeing that because it makes it feel, like you said, like a community as opposed to a competition.
That's next here on WPR News.